listening to Natural Occurrences with Bella Maria, the modern good fairy, only on LA Talk Radio.
Listening to Natural Occurrence Show with Bella and friends. Hope you have a favorite beverage in hand, because I frankly don't know what will come out of this lady's mouth. Now, here's your host, Bella, a spiritual life path guide, loveologist, and a modern good fairy. Oh my.
Hi everyone, this is Bella Maria. How are you doing? So we are Thursday, 2 p.m. Another day. We're still stuck in indoors COVID. I don't know about you, but I'm trying to do my best. So we have a guest. We're going to be waiting for Kedrick Olson to come on with us. And wonderful human being. I've gotten a chance to get to know him this past month. And he's just a really, really cool guy. So I'm super excited to talk to him about all these different things that he does, and just amazing man. So while we're waiting for him, as you guys know, I'm kind of a person who just likes to enjoy life. I'm not one to be put in a certain topic or niche whatsoever. But I am doing this really cool project called Body Love, and it's a wellness kind of just to inspire people on their journey. You know, COVID has probably done a lot for us, creating a lot of, you know, just, you kind of just lose yourself. You don't really do as much. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. I guess it just depends on if you're a go-getter or you allow things to kind of affect you. But either way, oh, hold on one second. I do apologize. Kedrick is just trying to get on. I do apologize. Okay, so what I would like to talk to you about is, it's called Body Love Wellness, and I do have a group on Facebook that you can go ahead and be asked to join. It is a private group. I do private just because of the fact that you just want to make sure everybody feels safe in that environment. You know, sometimes we feel a little vulnerable when we do share things. So when you do want to talk about something, it is safe. It's a safe area. So what I would like to do is extend the invitation to anybody who chooses to want to partake in this. It's just a program that somebody could do. I'm not asking for you to pay anything. It's just something that you can do that will maybe help you start being happy with the person that you want to become, you are, who, you know, just to accept and love who you are. Because once we love ourselves, once we feel comfortable in our own skin, we tend to just start loving other people, start getting into a relationship with another person. You know, it's just something that we need to, I'm just going to send him this link. I do apologize that I'm doing this. Oh, there he is. Yes, you're here.
I am here. I apologize. I went.
No, it's okay.
Labyrinth in the wrong direction.
It's all right. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good. I was just talking about Body Love Wellness. It's a program that I'm doing right now to try to build up, you know, self-confidence and self-love and, you know, just nurturing yourself first before you can get yourself into a relationship with another person or just on the journey that you're trying to go. So that's what I'm talking about. How was your day?
It's been a good day today. Lots of stuff going on, lots of good creation, making stuff happen. So I'm happy. Good. Things are good.
Good. So I want to go ahead and formally introduce you. So this Kedrick Olson. Am I saying your last name right?
Kedrick Olson. You okay. Got it.
And can you tell me more about what you want to share, who you are? Because say all these great, wonderful things about you, but I might not hit the donkey tail.
Put the tail on the donkey, right?
Yeah.
Sure. So. Yeah, I do a number of different things. I'm most notable for my work with runes and Norse mysticism, going through the original Eddas and sagas, doing the translations on my own, but from a mystical mindset so that I can take the wisdom that the ancients had at that time period, but bring it forward to our current time in a very practical, usable way. And so I've wrote a book called Runes for Transformation, which talks a lot about how to do that one. I work with clients one-on-one in group sessions and classes teaching runes in a practical way so that it's not, you know, the wacky woo-woo just kind of way out there stuff. It's not really divination either, like we are commonly known to see. It's actually more about writing, because runes are the written language of the Old Norse, or the written form of the Old Norse languages, but it's also about transformation of mindset, transformation of the world around you. In other words, magic. Mm-hmm. So we're using runes for magic, which is a very traditional use of runes. But meanwhile, throughout all of this time, and I didn't realize there was a need for this kind of work that I also do, is I grew up in a home that was very haunted. You know, you could set something down, turn around, and it would be gone. You hear footsteps down the hallway, toilets flushing, TV channel would change. Back in the day, you know, when you had the TV dials, you had to change manually. Yeah. You could literally see the dial turning while you're watching TV.
Goodness.
So it wasn't like some errant signal coming in to change a remote. It was like physically changing the channel. Wow. And so I grew up with this. I grew up understanding seances. My parents took me to a spiritualist church. We had seances. We did transmediumship. I understood this communication with spirits. I've had spirit guides that I called whisperers since a young age. So they were a constant part of my life. But as I'm working with the runes of the Norse mysticism and all of that stuff in a practical way, it was kind of an eye-opener for me to see how many people I had encountered that didn't have that level of interaction with spirit, didn't understand that level of paranormal, and didn't see that the paranormal was actually a normal part of our world. And it was really eye-opening, you know, attending seances with other people and learning how they come across that. And when I came across a ghost hunter team, good friends of mine, and they were talking about the challenges that they were facing when they go to some of these investigations. And it's kind of funny, you know, I was in my 40s when this came up to me, just how naive I had been for so long. And talking to them and talking to a good mutual friend of ours, and I was like, is there a need for some practical training to keep safe with paranormal investigations? And it was a mutual resounding yes, we really need this. And I'm like, oh, I get it. Okay.
That's so I started cool.
Put together a paranormal training course. I'm teaching courses on seances, both the beginner level where we learn how to use everything from, you know, the basic pendulum working to Ouija boards, which you might see in the background. And I take it all the way to a more advanced course where we use a black mirror and the communication is more, for want of a better word, telepathic. So throughout all of this, also, I'm working a lot with pagan men, because we're focusing on some of the masculinity in our culture and how it gets presented and the different archetypes that we have to deal with in the modern times of what it means to be a man. And we go back and we look at various archetypes through pagan culture, and I'm putting together a plan specifically for heathen culture so that we have these various archetypes throughout history, throughout different indigenous cultures, heathen practices, so that we can apply it and become a different version of the man that we thought we had to be, because, you know, our upbringing tells us to be men of certain ways. Mm-hmm. And I'm coming across as saying, no. If you look at these sacred archetypes, you know, the different views of sacred masculinity throughout history, throughout different cultures, you can pick and choose the attributes of those archetypes and create your own archetype of your own sacred self as a man and live in a more healthy way in this world. So I guess in a rough overview, those are the three big areas that I'm working with: the runes of Norse mysticism, the paranormal and seances, and pagan men's spirituality. Those are kind of like my big things right now.
That's pretty cool. That's really cool. So as far as, okay, so me being, because, you know, when we've talked, like, I don't even feel, because, like, you have, you know, the dark clothes and, you know, you're so dark and all this stuff. But in reality, like, you're really not, you're very light. And it comes across so scary. And me being Catholic, everything is scary to a Catholic. So, but it was really interesting when, for me, being that, you know, I was Roman Catholic, grew up Roman Catholic, and having the gifts that I had, it was really, really hard. And then you'd have these Christians that was, oh, no, I'm not a prophet. And they're like, oh, but you are, but you do all these things. And I'm like, no, no, no. And so, because I don't put myself on that. Like, I feel like a prophet is somebody who is kind of like on a pedestal. I feel like I don't put on a pedestal. You know, I just want to be treated with respect, with care, with dignity, and just hear what I have to say instead of just, you know, being fearful of it. For people who are fearful of, like, what even what we're just discussing right now, and they're kind of like, should I look? Is it okay? men who are, you know, maybe are needing help and guidance and not are in the heathen, but can also relate because they still have that either machismo or testosterone built, or maybe they're not really like in the pagan form, but they still need that help. Should you, well, like, I feel like, you know, I was very welcomed when I talked to you, and I wasn't even in that form. I'm not even a man. So, you know, do you just strictly work in that niche? And that's okay. But is, or people get fearful of, they don't, not sure if they, because they don't fit in that niche, is that something, you know, they can't contact you?
It's definitely open for everybody. And that's one of the things I try to hopefully come across through on my website and everything else, that everything I have to teach is open to anybody of any spiritual persuasion, any cultural, any ethnicity, any gender identification, or any sort of sexual alignment. That's fine. It's totally cool. This is open to anybody and everybody in any way. All it takes is that open mind and that willingness to do the work.
Yeah.
And yes, sometimes some of the stuff comes across a little bit scary, and that's fine. A lot of what I do does stem from, let's say, the occult side of things, which is hidden. Mm-hmm. And I like to think of myself as a hierophant, you know, the teacher of the occult secrets, the revealer of those deeper mysteries. And to address some of the darker side and maybe some of the scary stuff, I like to go back and look at the runes. Now, if we were to look at some of the modern rune workings and some of the modern rune practices, it almost feels like spiritual bypassing. And the reason why, I'll get to more what spiritual bypassing is because when we look at the traditional runes from like 2000 years ago, from the 1300s, back when we had some documentation of this, yes, there are some happy runes, like Wunyo is all about joy. There's Yera, which is about abundance and growth. But then there is Hagalaz, which is about disruption and chaos and discord. There's Naufis, which is all about need and constraint and what you don't have. And the reason being is these are all factors of our life. We don't live this perfect, wonderful, happy existence that we go through. We have challenges. We have in dialogue that can be there. We have all of these different shadow traits within our psyche. We have the shadow energies that is within our soul. And that's because we are not these simple, complacent, easy to understand beings. We are complex. We have many different sides. We have many different characteristics. We have come up with communities and families that have told us things about ourselves that may or may not be true. We've come to believe things about ourselves that keep us from going where we need to be going. Mm-hmm. And truthfully, those things are a little bit scary. They're a little bit rough. They're a little bit on the dark side. However, all of those things also hold our greatest potentials. They hide our secrets from us. And so by willing to engage the darker side of things,
which is the fear,
the shadows, right? The fears, the anger, the aggression,
ego,
the hostility. Yeah, we embrace all of these things and we accept them on ours. Then we can actually get through them. We can learn those lessons and we can advance beyond that. I mean, mm-hmm. Let's take it even a step further. Spiritual bypassing is like, no, I'm just going to be happy and peace and I'm going to love everybody. I'm just going to be happy and at peace and love everybody. Meanwhile, you are denying maybe some inner upset, some inner turmoil that's coming up, and it's going to keep coming up, and it's going to keep coming up. And you're like, no, I'm just going to love everybody. Yeah. And then it's going to come up again, and then it's going to present itself as resentment. It's going to present itself in these other ways until you actually address it, and it's going to become toxic. So to help with that, I actually teach a class every now and then. It doesn't come up maybe once a year, on what I call sacred anger. It's by realizing that in the brainstem where you do your fight or flight and with your amygdala is the part of your brain that is creating the anger and the hostility. Yeah. But the part of your brain that can override that's the prefrontal cortex, which is your higher level functioning, your executive level functioning. And your prefrontal cortex can connect you to higher self. Well, if you're going to be an entire whole being, you can't just shut down your brainstem. You can't just shut down that anger response. And if you're going to be a whole being, you can't just shut down the prefrontal response either. You use both of them. So you choose to take your anger as an energy that you can focus on and direct in a certain way with the guidance of your higher mind and your higher self. So you are being a whole being, accepting, embracing your anger and saying, this MF-er's got to go. Let's take it out and do it. But you're not doing it in a hostile, aggressive way.
It's like,
okay, this is something that needs to happen. This is why it needs to happen. Here are the consequences of doing that. And here's a safe, sane way of using this anger in a productive way that isn't shutting you down, that isn't cutting you off. So yeah, it sounds like anger could be scary and frightening. And it's like, well, isn't that the realm of the demons? No, it's a realm of being human.
Human.
And we got to use it all.
Yep. I call it the cycle life lesson. It's kind of like a board game. And you go and you're doing your candy land. You're on each one little step. And then all of a sudden, what happens? You land on green and you go down the ladder, right? And then you're like back at like where you were before. And then you get to the green one again and you're right back at that ladder. And then you drop back down, you know? It's like, how many times are you going to do it until you finally realize that you need to change the number of the dice or, you know, like find a strategy or, you know, figure it out, bite it in the butt and just move on, you know? And living in the present moment, I found also really helps, you know, diving into what really happened, learning to accept it, and then just moving forward in the present moment. Not in the future, not in the past, just like present. And once we could shut that down, then that's like, you can like really expand and like nurture that. It's really cool. And people don't get, you know, mindfulness and all of that. People are like, oh, mindfulness, what, you know, what? I don't know what that is. Or, oh yeah, I've heard that so many times. It gets in kind of almost where it's been used so much that people don't know what it really means anymore, you know, right. And it becomes numbing, you know, and you just, it's kind of, you have to learn how to take care of yourself and really know what everybody, everybody knows everything about Facebook and like what everybody else is doing, but you're not focusing on who you are and what you need to do to like get you to your path, you know? Yep. And so that it's like people are searching. They keep searching and searching and searching. They don't know where to search. So I think, you know, you're a great tool. You know, everybody needs a tool in a tool bag. So somebody needs
I am a tool.
You are not. No, not that kind of tool. Well, maybe the others. I don't know. But so I'm actually really interested in, for me, I like crystals. I do a lot of I don't do a lot of crystal healing work, but I do because I don't do Reiki or anything like that. I could, I just choose not to. But to focus on crystals sometimes. And this time I was going to crystals with rose quartz.
Okay.
And are you familiar? You're familiar with crystals, right?
A little bit. That's not a huge area of my specialty, but a little bit. And I understand the rose quartz and its connection to the heart chakra.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have a raw form. And then you have a tumbled form, which is nice and smooth, right? And the rose quartz is, they all come in different colors. You have the purple, which is the, do you know what the purple one is?
No.
Amethyst?
Oh, yes, of course, the amethyst, yes.
And then there's, it's like a lavender color. And then there's citrine. Have you ever heard of citrine?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the various forms of chalcedony.
Yeah. And citrine, I love citrine. Citrine is my favorite because it is very balancing. But the rose quartz is awesome because it does take the heart chakra and open it up. And it allows the love that you need to come in. And so what it does is it gives you self-confidence, comfort, self-love, and allows to kind of comfort you during those times that you need maybe assistance. And so I tend to keep them around the house because I have a family. And things happen, but I also put it under my mattress. I have a citrine and I have a rose quartz. And I put those under the mattress for helping to keep love going. You know, like it helps my husband, you know, stay where he can like love himself. And, you know, when he's had a hard day or we've had hard days and like you just need to have that re-energizing, you know, and that's what the crystals do is they give you what earth, you know, you can't always go to the water. You can't always go and like put your toes in like in the ground and like ground yourself, you know, and you can't always absorb the sun sometimes. So, you know, having crystals around, it kind of keeps you still part of the earth, you know, and for certain reasons. And so that's what I do. I use my crystals, and rose quartz is just a great little tool that I've always had. And it promotes love. And so, you know, I think sometimes right now we need it because it's really hard right now. Life is really hard. I mean, I guess we make it however hard you want to make it, but it's kind of shitty.
It can be at times indeed.
It can. So I actually put one aside, and because I'm Catholic, I have my little rosary and my Saint Anthony, and I put it, and I actually put it in my bra, TMI, but I do. I put it there because I don't lose it. It's not like I take my bra off anytime, you know? So I put it there because then I know that it's close to me. I put citrine in there. I have a moonstone, black tourmaline, and I have a red jasper. And those are ones that I use. And that's kind of my little like cocktail of crystals. But I love it. I love crystals. They're fun. I've had them like, I've always collected them. They've always intrigued me.
Yeah. Crystals aren't a huge part of the work that I do, but I've got a few around here in my office, some rutilated and black one. I got a black crystal. I'm not quite sure what that one is.
Do you clear them?
No, I haven't done that with these.
You should.
They just kind of hang out.
Yeah, you should probably clear them. They absorb a lot of energy.
So how do you do that?
Well, there's a lot of ways. You can smudge them, sage. You can put them in clear, like clean, like river water, or you can just put the intent that it is like the sink water is, you know, river water, and you clear them out. I wouldn't do some crystals you can't put in the sun, but you can put them out in the sun and let them clear. I just put them together with citrine, and citrine absorbs negative energy and then spews out positive. So it's the only crystal, it's the only, it's constantly taking in. It's kind of like the sun. It takes in, but it always puts out like really positive vibes. So it's good, you know, so it clears it all out. It kind of like a little like filter, and then it spills it out. And then you just have positive energy going into the crystals. You can say a little prayer on it, moonlight, put them in the ground, have the, you know, full moon clean them out. It just depends on your ritual.
Interesting. Now, I've heard certain things, like you don't want to put amethyst in the sun, it might turn to citrine on you. You don't want to put selenite in water, it might disappear.
Yeah, I have my selenite. Yeah, this is my selenite. I use that one for, it's kind of like cutting cords. It's the crystal for Michael Archangel. But this one, water.
Yeah.
I like this one too. This one's one of my favorites. Spirit quartz.
Okay.
I like that one.
I don't know anything about it.
Spirit quartz are fun. That actually, it allows people to work really well together. It's kind of like a unification crystal. Keeps everybody unified and working together and staying on track. I got to do that with the family. Homeschool and everything. It's like, where's my spirit crystal? Put it right there in the middle.
I've heard one of the ways to keep things calm in the home is to put some dragon's blood resin into a little bit of a container and then hide it somewhere in the house to help keep things quiet and calm.
I have had dragon's blood. I love, there is one incense that I absolutely love. It's actually like all the resin of sage. So like there is like a sage one. I use that and it's actually all the resin, and they've completely, it's just a beautiful smell. I mean, it's so pure, and they mixed it with the white sage and dragon's blood. And I would have that one all the time. A lot of my metaphysical stores have like closed. Either they get old, the owners get old, and there's nobody else to like take over, or, you know, people have different mindsets. But yeah, I miss my metaphysical stores. Moonfriar was mine.
So. And we've got a good one here, Ritualcraft. It's where I teach at. They've had to be flexible with how they've worked, like either only online orders, or you order online and then you can stop by and pick it up curbside.
That's good.
And occasionally they would be open. I think they're back to being open because our COVID numbers here in Colorado are on the.
That's all so you're that's doing.
Our readings are all online. You know, I'm very familiar with Zoom classes, Zoom rituals, Zoom meetings. Very familiar with that nowadays.
Yeah, I know. That's pretty much, I had to do all of that with homeschool because I homeschooled the kids like since kindergarten. So, you know, I've kind of been used to being home. Nothing really much changed for me. I was a germaphobe already. I already kept the kids in from November to February. I've said this before. I joke about the fact that, you know, I got them ready for the germpocalypse. That's what I called it. The germpocalypse.
Exactly.
But yeah, Zoom, thank God we have Zoom and all these other little handy applications, because these platforms are so great to utilize in this. I think we probably would have lost our shit if we didn't. I really do. Dude. I think a lot of those, like, I think no matter what, even like with, you know, Facebook and all of that, although we, you know, are live streaming on Facebook, you know, I think it's such a bittersweet, it's like a double-edged sword, you know, it's like a little too much of something can make you sick.
Moderation in all things, including moderation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, something fun. What is your favorite band right now? What kind of music do you like listening to right now?
Favorite band. Here we go back to the dark side stuff. It's Wednesday 13.
Wednesday 13. I've never heard that.
It's like horror punk. It's like kind of punk metal-ish type music, but with a horror theme.
Huh.
Yeah. It's that, let's say V&V Nation. It's more industrial, but that is not, I'm not going to say touchy-feely, but it does get more to some of the emotional side of things, and there are some definitely mystical elements embedded throughout the music. So V&V Nation's good. I tend to listen to more of the goth. Old school goth. Tend to listen to the goth, industrial, agri-tech kind of music.
That's pretty cool. I think I'm going to like venture into that stuff. My husband, he's into more of that stuff too.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm a California girl. Like, I'm not into goth and like all of that. I can't. Just my spirit just doesn't do it. It just doesn't work. I accept it. I just listen. Oh, I went to a Slayer concert. Oh, holy wow.
I never myself got into Slayer. They're never
my kind of music.
But the lead singer is an avid church-going Catholic.
He is. I did research before I went. Yeah. I did research. And he goes, my husband was like, how do you know all this? And I was like, oh, I did research. He's like, I didn't even know half of the stuff. And he loves Slayer. Now, the thing is, we went to see Lamb of God. We went to see Owl. I like Lamb of God. I really handled like that. Max Cavalera, Otep, all of those people, I really can respect and like understand. But Slayer, I'm sorry. To anybody please don't take any offense. It was just me. My brain couldn't process it. And you guys are very, 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 very tolerant to it. I couldn't do it. I felt like I was going to have a seizure. Like, I would go and I'm listening to the concert and I have this lights going in my face and the music is like, boom, 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 like all in my face. And it was too much at one time. But Jesus was there.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. No, seriously, he was there. He was going up and down the thing saying, you know, Slayers rocks. It was kind of funny.
That's funny.
But you know, I mean, it was cool. I kind of been listening to the Weedland Brothers. I don't even know if you know who they are. It's like reggae, sublime. And no, I don't smoke weed. I just like really, really enjoy that music. It kind of just gets me. I think I'm so high energy that I need something just to kind of like mellow me out and get me into a good state of mind all the time. Since I feel everything, I'm the type of person that watches like Hallmark at night. I go to bed and my husband's like sitting there watching the first 48. And I'm like, I can't do that. I'm sorry.
I don't know what that is either.
Really, the first 48, it's like homicide. Somebody passes on, killed, murdered. And then in 48 hours, they have to find the person.
Is it a TV show or something?
Yeah. No. Yeah. So he'll go That's to bed right. like that. Yeah.
Well, most pop media references I'm clueless on. I don't understand mainstream media. I tend to stay away from it.
Yeah. I don't watch news. I choose to stay away from the news, mainstream news. I am a big researcher. I do research things. So if I hear something, I'll say it out loud and maybe like, you know, but then I'll like research it and I'll check on it and like double check my facts before I like really finalize anything that I hear. Like I think we talked about this, the Vatican, like they had the Vatican blackout, really Pakistan. It was like, people were like going crazy about the Vatican blackout and that they raided the Vatican and it wasn't true. Not that I know of. So
I know
Pakistan did, but other than that, I don't know.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't catch any of that.
No.
Have my areas in my life where I am completely naive. There are certain subjects where somebody would ask me about like sports, celebrity gossip, things like that. I admit I'm completely ignorant. I've had no clue. I just don't have a way of knowing that stuff. So I don't know.
I tend to research if I'm curious about it. I tend to research it. Like I researched you. You know, I want people to be comfortable. That's what natural occurrences is, you know, like I want people to be comfortable about things and stop. Research it. If you don't know something, you don't know how to like figure it out. Research it, figure it out. Don't be scared.
That's one of the things I consider to be so important to spiritual growth, no matter what paradigm, no matter what background you come from. I think it's a huge thing for spiritual growth is to seek out and embrace cognitive dissonance. And what I mean by that is to find other opinions, find other beliefs, other practices that are divergent from your own mindset, from what you know to be true. And that's a critical thing. What is divergent from what you know to be true? And you seek the truth in those teachings. You seek the facts that are in there, even if it is counter to what you know to be true, because that will open your mind to possibilities you were unaware of before. It will open avenues for you. And it's one of the things I tell all of my clients and all of my students, that if you ever have an answer when you're searching, or even if I give you an answer, it's wrong. Just flat out, it's wrong. If you get an answer to a question and you're done. But if you find a way to get more questions, better questions, mm-hmm. and you continue to pursue that path of what's the next question? What's the next question? That's the path that you go along. So if you embrace cognitive dissonance, if you assume that what you know is nothing, that you are completely naive, that you're ignorant, that whatever you think you know is just some comfort zone that you put yourself into, and that it's okay to step out of that comfort zone, then you will increase your ability to perceive more things, to understand things in a different way, to grant new perspectives, and your entire world, literally your world around you, will shift simply by embracing cognitive dissonance. Mm-hmm. And one of the key kind of fun ways to do that one, especially in times when there are news stories going crazy, is if you are a news watcher or a news follower, is get your news from different sources. You know, look at MSNBC, look at CNN, look at Huffington Post, look at Fox News, look at, all of these various places. Mm-hmm. And if you can, go to a news aggregator. And what you'll find sometimes is that will be the same news information coming from an AP or a Reuters feed, but these different news sources will take it and spin it slightly different. And the headlines will be various different headlines. And what you can do then is look at what the motivations of the authors of those news articles are, the authors of or even the motivations of those news places, and then use that to challenge your own belief about the world and what you think you know about the world, because these different perspectives are giving you different understandings of the same information, and that will alter your concept, and you can get more to the root of what's going on, more to the root of who you are, so you can move to a different state of being. Because you're not accepting one little tiny pathway, and this is truth, and this is only truth. Facts are facts. Can't argue facts because, you know, facts are facts, but truths are altered when you have a different interpretation of the facts.
Yes. Yeah. We kind of lost sight as people that are like journalists, they tend to start putting their opinion in it. Their opinion is put in it now. It's not just the facts.
It's absolutely right. Most of the time, if you even watch pundits on TV, my mom is huge on news. She thinks she's very well educated because she's constantly watching the news. But we'll watch the pundits when they're talking with their guests. And it's less about what is it that you're experiencing? What are the facts that you've seen? What is it that you were observing? And it's more like, well, this happened. Don't you think that's just awful? And is it really a good thing that this happens there? And don't you think it's a terrible thing that these things keep happening?
Yeah.
What's going on is those pundits.
It's not about what you think.
Force their own editorial opinion upon the pundits. And if the pundit disagrees with it, then it starts some hostilities between the host and the guest. And it's just like, oh, I can't even watch these things.
It causes a lot of turmoil.
Yeah.
That's kind of why I think we're in such a bad state right now.
Yeah, it's less that people are looking for facts and more
people need to stop thinking opinion. Stuff and presenting the facts. These are the facts. This is what it is. Instead of like, you know, it's like, it's always about, you know, yes, I value your opinion and I value what it is. But when it comes to certain things, you just need to just give the facts and nothing else. Because frankly, not everybody really cares about what you think, which is really sad. But people don't, which is really bad. I know it sounds bad, but it's true. Like, haven't you noticed that? People don't really care about what, you know, what we think. It's really based on what they think and if it's the same and it fits their frame of mind.
Right. We're seeing reinforcement for our own
choices. They hate you. And if they're not a good person, I can't do that. I have to look at all the facts and then I can base my opinion on it. And even if I don't like you, I'll still say, okay, you're right. You're good. It makes sense, you know, but not everybody does that. It's kind of hard.
It is our basic human nature to seek confirmation biases, the things that we build as our comfort zone. We want to be reassured that we are in the right place and we're doing the right thing in the right ways. And then if we get information that's counter to that, then we're going to reject it. And that, like I said, it's basic human instinct to be that way, basic human programming. But if you can get out of that, if you can look at diverging opinions, if you can grow beyond that one, then you can evolve beyond the basic human. You can be more evolved human. I mean, you're still human, but you're going to be a more evolved being so that you can think and critically evaluate the situation rather than just blindly following and being told what to do.
Absolutely. I totally believe in that. I think we'd be all in better places. Communities would be a lot better. You know, life would be better. We need to just think for ourselves, understand what we need to, maybe write it down, journalize, you know, doing journals are great too, you know, getting your thoughts on paper and then kind of saying, does this really make sense? And it tends to like just make you feel better too. You know, I like to journal sometimes. I do journaling. It kind of helps kind of give you that like frame of mind of, you know, am I off or am I like on the right path? Even just a schedule is nice. You know, you tend to start getting a little out of whack when you don't have a schedule.
That's very true. This is where we come to balance the mindless with the mindful. Mm-hmm. That we as human beings, we have a certain limit to decision making. You could think of decision making and willpower as a limited daily resource. And so if you can move as much as you can into your mindless routines, you know, your normal waking routines, your normal working routines, just make it mindless and day and ordinary, then that's where you can use your mindfulness. It's really just balancing where are you going to be mindless, where are you going to be mindful, because you do have a limited capacity of mindfulness.
Yeah.
And you know, always keep an emergency supply, because what if a urgent situation comes down where you need to be fully present and alert, then have some of that willpower left there. But you know, your daily commute could be a mindless activity. Taking a walk through a park can be a mindless activity, can be a mindful activity too. But it's just, like I said, learning what you can be mindless about, what you can be mindful with.
What your body needs at the time.
Yeah.
At that moment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I get it. It makes sense. I mean, we just need to harmonize. Like I always say, I like harmony. Can't balance. We talked about this with Patty. Balancing is so hard because it's like you think of a balance, you know, it has to always be equal. But harmonizing is good. I like harmony.
I think harmonizing is good too. It gives it that good resonance feel. Because a lot of times when people talk about balance, they mean negation. You stop doing this, you stop doing that, you stop doing. So you reduce that energy state to zero.
Yeah.
And I've always felt that you should accentuate the extremities, like whatever you really good at over here, what are you really good at over here? What is your really mindful state? What is your really mindless state? Really accentuate the extremes, and then you can find the harmony there within rather than neutralize them out to nothing. Yeah.
I know. I'm always trying to balance it out. I'm like, because I when I first started, I'm kind of not in your normal niche. I'm like a hybrid of something. So, you know, for me, it really took a lot of work to just harmonize my life, because one little thing like goes out and I'm like, ah, gotta freak out, you know, do my freak out moment, and then like, okay, write it all down, restructure it, lock it in, and keep moving. It's kind of like you would take something out of a car and you're already packed up, ready to go. And then you take that one thing out and then everything falls out.
Ugh, yeah.
It doesn't work. So, I know before we end the show, mm-hmm. the way that I got to know you, maybe I can have you back on again.
Right? Sure.
Okay. So the way I got to know you was I asked you a question about, so I get, sometimes I'll get messages, my, you know, like I'm like half asleep, half awake moment. Mm-hmm. And a god that is not normally someone that comes to visit. We talked about Odin.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard Odin, Odin, Odin. And it was very interesting because I didn't know anything about it. I had so many questions. I was like, what is this? What is that? Why did he say Valhalla? Why did this? But when that opened, when that door opened, was open by just hearing that, it allowed me to start researching and start understanding there's more out there. So I wanted to touch back on what you were saying, you know, about when we research, we get to know and we're more open-minded to things. Being Catholic, it was very like, I'm like, what does that mean? You know, like why would he come to me? It wasn't that he was calling for me. It was a message for someone else that I soon figured out. But it allowed me to understand the other aspects, the Celtic life, you know, and a lot of the things that I felt were more like me. Because a lot of Roman Catholics, they're not very accepting. They're very closed-minded. Things are getting better where they're more accepting. They're opening up their doors to, you know, all genders, you know, all these different things. Slowly, it's moving forward. But the Celtics actually believed in welcoming everybody, that everybody was important in life. And everybody had a purpose. And so that's what I took out of it, you know, for me to understand. And I kind of want to touch on that on another show because we got to get going. But I'm going to end it with, if you are fearful of something and you don't quite know what it is, research it, look at it. If it doesn't resonate, that's okay. But at least you attempted to understand that person or that belief. Because once we have an open mind about life, about what people are believing in, what their thought process is, we can actually learn to coexist with one another and just be more kind, you know?
I totally agree. Even in the Norse culture, they were one of the most xenophilic cultures on the planet at the time. They embraced people of other different cultures in different ways. And that's one of the things I bring forward as a practical study today, is that if our ancestors in the Norse tradition were open and accepting of other cultures and other people, we should be too.
And we're going to end it that way. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you being here. It was really, really fun talking to you.
Thank you for having me. This was great. I appreciate it.
Take care, everyone.
Listening to Natural Occurrences with Bella Maria, the Modern Good Fairy, only on LA Talk Radio.